enacts a new code of conduct for Stormont's special advisors, or SPADs as we often refer to them, and how they're appointed has been made public. It states that ministers are responsible for the management, conduct and discipline of their SPADs, and it also sees their salaries capped at £85,000 per year. Let's speak to the former SPAD, Brendan Mulgrew. Good morning to you, Brendan.
Good morning, Vinnie.
And also Alan McQuillan. Good morning to you, Alan.
Good morning.
You were a former member of the independent review panel that looked at MLA pay. Let's start with you, Alan. Do you welcome these new guidelines?
I think any guidelines that help regularise this, given what we learned through the RHI scandal, anything that helps regularise this is positive. I think what Conor Murphy has done is very positive. There are still some gaps in it, though. I mean, he's covered off some of the issues about special advisors having to register their emails on civil service systems, but there's still other gaps there about social media, WhatsApp, all sorts of different ways that they communicate with each other that hasn't been captured, and I think that needs addressed.
Yeah, it requires special advisors to keep good records and use official email accounts. Of course, Brendan, some of this links back to some of the information that we heard through the RHI inquiry. You are a former SPAD. We had Jim Allister on this programme recently talking about the fact he believes there's too many. He wanted, for example, in the executive office to have that number brought from 8 to 4. How important are SPADs to ministers?
They are very important, if any, and I think that the whole fallout from the RHI inquiry, the scandal itself, has led to a question mark being put over the role of SPAD, which I think is unfortunate. They do have an important role in linking the minister, or being the link between the minister and the department and the minister and their party, and they play an important role in being able to put a political slant on the advice which the minister is receiving, rightly receiving, from departmental officials. But I do think that the code of conduct that was published yesterday, I wouldn't argue with any of it. You know, the more transparency we have in government, the better. The public are entitled to expect to be able to see more transparency in how special advisors operate. And I think some of the specific details contained in yesterday's code relate very directly to RHI, this stuff around. It's as important in what it says special advisors shouldn't or aren't able to do as much as it says about what they are able to do. And they're not to use private email accounts. They're not to disseminate information to family members and to other people which may be commercially sensitive. They're not to authorise public expenditure. I think all of that relates very directly to some of the findings that we can expect to read when the RHI report is published. But it's important that in being constructively critical of the role of SPADs, I think it's too easy simply to say, do away with SPADs or there's no role for them. I think they do have a role to play, for sure.
I don't know if anyone's making the argument, Alan McQuillan, for them to do away with SPADs. Of course, some are making, again, that argument to reduce them. Some refer to Northern Ireland being quite a small place and the size of our current civil service as well.
I'm not saying completely get rid of them, but what I am saying is this. Before the Assembly collapsed the last time, I think we had about 19 SPADs. We had 1.5 to 2 times as many SPADs as any other jurisdiction in the UK, Wales or Scotland. So we had a large number of them.
And how do our salaries here, I know they're capped now at 85, I think before there were some around 92 or so thousand pounds. How do they compare to the likes of Scotland?
Very significantly higher than other jurisdictions. Other jurisdictions were in the band, I think, from 50 to 70. So we had far more of them. We were spending $2 million a year on them, and we had far more of them. And the question is then, what were they doing? Because we need to see Pat Coughlin's report. But there's almost the impression there that there was an alternative government in the background, and so some of the SPADs had actually more credibility with the senior ministers than the junior ministers did. And I think that's not a healthy situation in any form of government. So I think we may need them, but we need, in my personal view, far fewer of them.
The finance minister said that the executive had approved this code of conduct for special advisors and that they were expected to serve the executive as a whole and not just their own minister. What difference is that from the past, Brendan?
Well, actually, that I thought that point harked back to how the SPADs worked when Stormont was first up and running, which is when I was working as a SPAD to Sean Farran, who was Minister of Employment and Learning at that time. And we used to meet on a regular basis with in what was called a Ministerial Representative Committee, an MRC. People love the abbreviation. But all the SMADs for all the ministers would meet on a Monday, along with departmental civil servants, and we would look ahead to that Thursday's executive meeting and say, well, you know, what's your minister going to say about this issue or that issue? And we'd have very lengthy conversations about how to work around problems or how to agree on issues. So in that sense, we were working, yes, of course, to our minister, but on behalf of or into the executive as a whole. And it's interesting, too, that in that period, within what was then called OFN-DFM, is now the Executive Office, or TEO, to throw another acronym in there, there were six SPADs working to the First Minister and Deputy First Minister, two to each of the First and Deputy, and one to their junior ministers. So that number has now been increased from six to eight. I think there's absolutely an argument that says there's too many SPADs. We don't need as many as that at the centre of government.
What would you set the number at?
Well, I think two in the office of the First and Deputy First Minister.
And there are currently eight?
There are currently eight. Two each was going to say, Vinnie, which would be four. Because there's a big workload of TEO and there's a junior minister there as well as the first deputy first. And then one SPAD per executive minister after that. That would bring us down to, that would lighten the number of SPADs by two overall.
Okay, let's go to the phones. Liam on this. Good morning, Liam.
Hello, Vinnie. The question that would immediately come to mind is when you look at RHIN, what's the benefit of these SPADs? You look at politics in general, and you look at the politicians, they're a collective of waiters of millions of pounds.
Yeah, but you heard Brendan Mulgrew, he's a former SPAD, so he's been there and he's explained how valuable these advisors are. There's a lot on the plate of a minister. It's, you know, some of the, in particular, health, etc., education. That's a huge thing to try and process on your own, so surely you need some kind of help.
But look at the results. Like, the waiting list. Look at, you take one instance there, the Tweddale Avenue protest, 30 million out of the public purse and attacking the poor and vulnerable in the respective communities. The politicians as a whole, collective responsibility, allowed that money to be wasted.
Is that a fair criticism, Alan? Is that a fair thing to link with the likes of special advisors?
Special advisors, you look at the health service, you look at RHI.
Yeah.
What was the special advisor?
Well, let's get Alan McQuillan's thoughts on that. Alan.
Well, I think it comes down to the amount of money, you know. The amount of money we were spending before in special advisors was the equivalent of something like 80 teachers or nurses. So the question is, what do we really want? Do we want those teachers out in our schools? Do we want those nurses in our hospitals? Or do we want advisors at Stormont?
Now, is that fair, though, to make that? You've agreed and accepted that they do need special advisors. They need some help there. So,
given where we are, my personal view is that the politicians need to be setting an example in how they run their house efficiently.
Okay.
And that's a personal view. But they need to be setting an example in how they run their house efficiently. By all means, let them have some special advisors, but I don't think they need anything like the numbers they used to have.
Okay, this is a story I'm sure we'll return to maybe even later this week on the programme. Brendan Mulgrew and Alan McQuillan, thank you both very much.